Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you know, during the month of November, I like to focus on some of the lives of the saints to seek inspiration and instruction and their intercession. I've recently been reading a biography of one of the North American martyrs, St. Jean de Brébeuf. St. John was a Jesuit who came from France to Canada, which at that time was New France, to minister among the native peoples. He was the first missionary to go to the Huron tribe. And it's really amazing, as I'm reading this biography, I can't tell you the last time I've read a book that enraptured my imagination so much. I'm continually in suspense as to what is going to happen next. Where is he going to go? How are the people going to react to him? When and where and how is he going to meet his end? Is he going to win converts or not? Are they going to see him in a favorable light or not? I'm constantly in suspense. And from one page to the next, I can never predict how things are going to happen. It's a very well-written and beautiful story of the life of this great saint. But imagine you being the first to go among a different people, different customs, different beliefs, to be the first to go to proclaim the Christian faith to them. How would you do it? What would you start with, right? What would be your message? Now, Jean would go to them. They couldn't pronounce his name the same way, so they called him Echan. So Echan would say to them, "I have not come to trade with you. I have not come for your women. I have not come to make war. I have come to teach you about things that are unseen." Okay? "I have come to teach you about things that are unseen." A great challenge in his ministry was that for the Huron tribe and many of the native languages, every way of expressing something had to do with the material world. They didn't have the same words that we have for immaterial concepts. So, for example, God, there was no word for God, okay? So Echan had to figure out how to refer to God in a way that was intelligible to the Huron people. So he came up with this phrase, "The one who made all." Okay? That is how he proclaimed God to them. And what was the message that he wanted to leave them? Many times he had one opportunity, one message that he could convey. And what was it that he wanted to leave with them? Always, it seemed, he, in a bold, clear, and direct way, he proclaimed this, that after this life, there is another life. And depending on how you live now, that life will be a life of joy without end or a life of torment. You see, when it all comes down to it, our life on earth is really about eternal life. And that was the message of Echan. That was his lead-in. And if they expressed a desire for this life of joy without end, then he would begin to proclaim the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ to them. Thought about that as we heard our first reading from Wisdom. It talks about God, who is the creator of all, how much greater he is than all that he has made. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. How much greater God is than we are, he who made all things. But he loves everything that he has made. He hates nothing of what he has made. And nothing could remain in existence unless he willed it. He sustains us in being at every moment. He is the lover of souls. Why? Because, Wisdom tells us, his imperishable spirit is in all things. So ultimately, Achan wanted the native people to know that the very spirit of this God who made all has been imprinted on their hearts, that they were made in the image and likeness of God, who is unseen. So how to proclaim this? But part of the great challenge is, for all of us, that the sin in our lives distorts that image of God in which we've been created. So the author of the Book of Wisdom says, "Therefore, Lord, you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord, that that which distorts the image of God in them can be left behind, they can be purified, and once again come to know this imperishable, right, the spirit that does not die, that has been placed in our hearts by the one who loves us." Sin can distort that image so that we can become nearly unrecognizable as God's children. Now, when Achan was among the natives, he saw that many of their practices had distorted the image of God in them. For example, the natives did not just take one wife. They had multiple wives. They did not have the concept of monogamy. When one of their leading peoples or some of their holy men would have a vision or a dream, they were compelled to follow whatever the instructions were from this man, whether that was their vomit feasts, where they had to eat to the point of, you know, to the point of vomiting. They had to eat all of the food that was placed out, or whether that was having to grab on to burning coals or place their arms into the burning hot cauldrons, whether that was orgies or just some very terrible things. And when oftentimes when they captured their enemies in battle, their custom was, unfortunately, to torture and to eat their flesh, thinking that that would bring them the strength of their enemies. So Jean was appalled by some of the ways that they lived. Of course, he saw their virtues as well. But the image of God had been distorted in their hearts. He wanted them to come to recognize it once again. So he was motivated by true love to direct the natives to the one who made all, but also knew that in order to do that, he had to beg and convince them to abandon their wickedness in order to rediscover that image of God in which they've been created. St. Paul says we're all called to be saints. We're called to be holy. And God, we pray, will make us worthy of that. So one thing that I found very interesting and striking about Jean is that many times when the natives would come, when the Huron people would come to ask for baptism, he would say no. You would think he spent years and years laboring in the missions with, you know, very little success on some from some points of view. And finally, someone comes to ask for baptism, and he says no, right? It's because he knew that they were not ready to give up their wickedness, to abandon their sinful and superstitious behaviors. He knew that just to proclaim Jesus as Lord was not enough for them to find true salvation. He needed to insist that they change their lives. We have that example in Zacchaeus today in the gospel. Not only does he invite Jesus into his home, but because of his encounter with Jesus, he is willing to change his ways. And it's because of that that Jesus says to him, "Salvation has come to this house." So today, as we pray on these scriptures, as we meditate a little bit on the life of Jean de Brébeuf And by the way, there's going to be a continuation next week because I'm not quite done with the biography, okay? But we're reminded of how much God loves us, that he made us in his own image and likeness, that he would never have created something that he despises. He loves you. But sin distorts that image of God in which we've been created. But Jesus came, and he comes to each of us to seek and to save us. If we're astounded by the example of St. John de Brébeuf, his courage and his love to give up everything, to go to proclaim the gospel in a foreign land, just remember, that's only a tiny reflection of God's love for you and what he was willing to give to win you true life. And we need to consider our lives and ultimately the main most important question is how we will spend eternity. Do we want heaven? Do we want that joy without end? And if we do, we need to repent. We need to change our ways. Let's listen one more time to that reading from the Book of Wisdom. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. But you have mercy on all because you can do all things and you overlook people's sins that they may repent. For you love all things that are and loathe nothing that you have made. For what you hated, you would not have fashioned. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it? Or be preserved had it not been called forth by you. But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls. For your imperishable spirit is in all things. Therefore you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them, and remind them of the sins they are committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. St. John de Brébeuf, pray for us. I mentioned we'll just leave a few minutes of silence in case you needed some time to fill out the pledge form for the parish offertory. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With humble confidence, we lift up all of our prayers to God, the Almighty Father.
For the church, that we may extend God's love to all who are on the fringes of society, invite them to come and see Jesus, and find acceptance and friendship in the Christian community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For members of Congress, that they may sincerely seek the truth and impartially evaluate it, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the gift of joy, that we may rejoice as we experience Jesus with us on our life journey, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the ability to forgive, that we may show ourselves as children of God through forgiving those who have wronged us and reaching out to them with concern and kindness, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a spirit of stewardship, that we may protect and care for all creation which God has made and which reflect God's glory, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are ill, that God will bring healing to all who are sick, renewal of hope to all who find life difficult, and strength to all who serve their needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, particularly our family members, Susan Halbach, Larry Hinke, brother of Steve Hinke, Bernard Biesick, brother of Rita Mead and Art Biesick, and James Legal, for whom this Mass is offered, that God will welcome them into the eternal banquet, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the prayers in our hearts and those written in our Book of Intentions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
The Lord.
pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of